Well, today is a very special day. I'm so thankful that each and every one of you are here. But we have a special guest today. We have a special guest and his wonderful bride. So we have Paul and Christine Pyrke. Is that right? Close enough, okay? And they're our missionaries to the Ukraine. Paul was telling me this morning, I think we as a church have been supporting them for about 16 years. And I remember, and Heather remembers it very clear. Remember the first time they came, Heather? It was a Wednesday night. And I remember something. Heather says this all the time, and I'm not kidding. She remembers something Paul said 16 years ago. Can you believe that, Paul? And this is what Paul said. He said there was somebody, was it an unsaved person? A college student that said, hey, if you believers really believe what you say about heaven and hell, you would be doing everything necessary to keep people from going to hell. Paul, do you remember that by chance? And Heather recalls that all the time. It's like, yeah, Heather, I remember. That was awesome. Yeah. Do you remember what I said last week? She said, no. But I remember what Paul said 16 years ago. And that's really true, church. We need to be a church that we have a heart for the lost. Amen? We have a heart for the lost. So with no further ado, I just want to have Paul come and share what God's doing in the Ukraine. They're going to be going back shortly, and we're excited. We're one of the last stops on their trip. So with no further ado, can we put our hands together? Can we just welcome them this morning? God bless you. Thanks for coming, Paul.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you. We are an extension of you to Ukraine. And we really do believe that we are a part of the local church. There are churches all over, mostly the Wisconsin area, that support us every single month, like you do, for us to be in Ukraine. And if you don't know what a missionary does, I mean, it's really basic. We try to plant churches where there are no churches, to simply create access to the gospel. In the 1980s, Coca-Cola had this big, huge vision, and their vision was this: that there would be an ice-cold Coca-Cola within walking distance of everybody in the world. Can you imagine that? What a huge vision. Well, the thing is, they've been able to do it in all but two countries of the world as of today. And we say, if Coca-Cola can do it, why not the church? Why not have a local church within walking distance of every person in the world? And that's really one of our functions in Kiev. And we are here today simply kind of giving a shareholders meeting. We're giving a report of what God has been doing in our lives and in Ukraine in the last 15, 16 years that you guys have been supporting us. We have three kind of primary roles that we do. We pastor a church in Kiev. It's in the capital city, about 6.5 million people. We train up pastors, young pastors from inside of our church community, and then we plant churches where there are no churches right now. We call them in missions the black hole. In other words, areas where there is no access to a church. There's no churches in the area. So we try to strategically plant in those black holes. And we're able to do that because of your giving, because of your prayer. And so many of you encourage us through social media, so many different things. And we came back this year. We've been back a year to release our kids into college. We have twins, Evan and Emma, and they're 19 years old, and they're both in college. Evan's in Minneapolis. Emma's in Milwaukee. I should have my wife say hi, stand up, wave your hand, say hello. That's Christine. I sometimes forget to do that. But we give a report to people who've been praying and giving and really believing that the gospel needs to go to those black holes. Recently, I was in a church, and it's a church that's been supporting us for a while, just like yours. And at the end of the service, an older gentleman, probably a guy in his 80s, comes walking up to me, and he was holding a prayer card. Only it was a blue one from when we first went out, and our kids were really young on it. They're about 4 years old. And he came up to me after service, and he said, young man, I want you to know for the last 10 years, I've been praying for you and your family in Ukraine every single morning. And that was so humbling. And then he said, but I've been mispronouncing your name to God for the last 10 years. And so we joked and we laughed and talked theology and decided God figured it out and got the prayers to the right place. But it's because people like him, people like you, really believe that the gospel really needs to let everybody at least have a chance to hear it, just have access points to it. So today I just want to spend a little time in the Word and give you some stories on those three areas of what's been happening in the last 15 years. Ukraine is in the news and out of the news and in the news and out of the news, but definitely a place of great challenges and great opportunities. But I want to start by just saying how important each of us are to God's plan, to just simply create access to the gospel. Now, if you looked at the back of your Bible in the book of Revelations, you'll see that in the end times, not everyone will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But let's give them a chance. Let's just give them a chance. Let's just tell them the name of Jesus that they may know him. And we all have an essential part in God's plan. Scripture shows in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." That's a great idea. The scriptures use the body of Christ, that idea that we all kind of fit together. And when I was preparing the message, I was kind of thinking about like a gear or a sprocket. I have some on the back table back there. Different springs and things that kind of come together for like a Swiss watch, so it can perfectly, intricately tell something like the time. But each part has its function. Each part has its purpose, just like we all have our purpose in all of this. And I want to look at a passage in Acts 16 that reveals to us that God guides us into participating in his plan, not just for ourselves, but for other people. We're going to start in Acts 16, verse 6, and Paul is kind of on this journey. Paul's also considered to be that missionary that is kind of going to those places where there is no access. It says, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia." I don't know what that means. What does it mean that he was kept by the Holy Spirit? Was it a feeling he had, a voice in his head, maybe some opposition? It then says, "When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to." There it is again. Again, something was happened. "So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had this vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after that, they decided that vision was from God, and they turned around." So think about the story a little bit. Which way is east? Does anybody know which is east? Anybody? Yeah, everybody's pretty right, right? They're over here, east, right? So they're going to Asia. Jesus had never been declared in Asia. They're heading east. They're going in this direction, and they're heading towards Asia. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit says no, right? Great opportunity in Asia, right? Unlimited opportunity, lots of people. They pivot, they head towards Bithynia. God says, "No, I don't want you to go there either." I don't know about you, but that's super encouraging to me. I'm constantly wondering, God, what do you desire for my life? And here's Paul trying to figure out the same thing. Saying, God, do you want me to do this? Is it this job for my family? What's next for our lives? And then they determine that God has spoken to them in a vision, and they turn around and they backtrack far distance. Right? They've gone a long distance towards Asia. Now they're turning around and they're heading back west, trying to figure out what God would have of their missionary journey. The Holy Spirit is there guiding them, and he's there to guide our lives. We see in John 16, 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you of what is yet to come." We have the Holy Spirit not only as our encourager, the one who reveals to us even when we sin, but also a guide in the practical things of life. We want God to guide us. Now, we grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and so all the way across the state, the other side of the state, and so yes, I am a Packer fan. It goes very deep. I know it's dangerous country over here. My grandpa was an original stockholder. And so we go way back, but I grew up going to a church not unlike this one, Central Church on the east side of Green Bay. I grew up in the youth group there, and when I was in youth group, a family felt led by the Holy Spirit to leave their job in Illinois and move to Green Bay. It was Alex and Barb Camp and their daughter Heidi. Heidi was in eighth grade, started coming to the youth group, and started attending Edison Middle School on the far east side of Green Bay. And her first week of school, they were in homeroom, and the teacher asked Heidi to ask Christine, to show Heidi around the school. You know, here's where you eat, don't sit here, sit here, here's your locker, where your rooms are. And it was that first week of school, my wife was in eighth grade, that Heidi said, "Hey, on Wednesday night, I started going to this youth group at a church. Do you want to go?" And my wife doesn't know why she said yes even today. She said, yeah, sure. And I remember that first Wednesday night that she came, because my life was changed, obviously. And shortly after that, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and her life was changed. And I often think how God put all of that together in just a simple way that we could know each other, that she could know Jesus Christ foundationally. And our lives have gone in a lot of different directions since then. I think we have an old picture of our family when we first came here, and our kids were, I think, 4 or 5 years old. Now we are going back to Ukraine empty nesting and figuring out what ministry is without a family together, and we've launched them, and they've done very well. Shortly after going to Ukraine, we took over a small struggling church in the capital city. It's called International Christian Assembly. There are 18 people. And we were kind of meeting in a garage package at the time and spent a couple years in the garage package. And we saw a great need in Ukraine right there and began a ministry that you kind of know of here in the United States called Teen Challenge. There's a huge need around addiction in Ukraine. And Teen Challenge is a ministry that focuses on individuals with life-controlling addictions, specifically focusing on alcohol and drug abuse, but in other areas as well. And so we launched a coffee house on Wednesday night and launched several different ministries. And today, they're in over 30 locations across Ukraine. They're completely independent. And as of 2 years ago, I'm not even on the executive board anymore, completely national run. And God is doing great things through Teen Challenge. And if you know anything about missions, one of my role is to work myself out of a job. So you establish something, see it going, raise up people, release it. God's doing some great things through Teen Challenge. And ICA today, the church pre-COVID, we saw somewhere between 30 to 40 nations represented in the room. We have services in English, Russian, Arabic congregation in the afternoon. The room that we're using right now is a rental space, and on the other side of that wall is a billiards hall with about 18 billiards tables. So during the service, you hear clack, clack, clack the whole time. It's kind of distracting, but it gets it done. We're actually 2 weeks, have been open for 2 weeks only since COVID, and just trying to make our way through a very complicated government decisions for churches and for meetings, but have been meeting back together, and God's doing great things there. So let's go back to our scripture, how God initiates these intersections of opportunities for his plan to be accomplished. Let's get back to verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day they went down to Neapolis, and from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. Okay, so remember, they're heading east, they turned around, they headed west, they got on a boat. They're heading towards Europe. And you may not have heard of any of those other names of cities up to this point, but you may have heard of Philippi because there's a book in the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul writes to the church in Philippi. We call it Philippians. But up to this point, no church in Philippi. In fact, there's been no gospel witness. They don't know about Jesus at all. A city of over 1 million people, very secular, Roman city, and not really even a Jewish presence there because there wasn't a place of prayer on the Sabbath. And on verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. So they're just trying to figure out, what does God want for our lives? Where do we do ministry? They go out for a place of prayer on the Sabbath. They meet these ladies, and they start talking to this woman named Lydia. It says she's a worshiper of God, probably wealthy because she dealt in purple cloth. Worshiper of God meant probably she knew of what we know to be the Old Testament. She knew of Abraham and God's blessing upon the Jewish people, probably knew of the Ten Commandments, but had not heard of Jesus. And Scripture says here that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and her whole family comes to Christ. This great, amazing thing happens. And just remember our storyline when we started, right? They're heading east. God says no. They pivot. God says no. They sense God's presence telling them, go in this direction. They go in that direction. But what's the significance? The significance is that while they were headed east, God turned them because Lydia was waiting by the river. So often when we start thinking about what is God's will for my life? How does it all fit together? I don't know about you, but I think about job and money and kids and happiness and comfort and these kinds of things, and maybe even effectiveness in ministry. But as we look at the Word of God, God's leading of the Holy Spirit, more often than not, is not about us. It's about somebody else. See, when the Holy Spirit is guiding us in this life, it's not just for us to accumulate or to grow or to become somehow more happy. It's because there is a strategic opportunity for us to really care and love someone else and to relay the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, simply obedience is placing your life into His plan. And His plan is that everyone would know Him. Our obedience is becoming a part of that and becoming part of God-given opportunities. 6 years ago in Ukraine, we experienced a little bit of a cultural change, a political change that happened. You can see it on even Netflix has a big documentary called Winter on Fire. You can see a lot about what was happening in a revolution that kind of went through Ukraine for the purpose of overtaking kind of a very, very corrupt government and parliament. And so we had a revolution downtown, and any given time there were 100,000 people over about of a six-month period of time that kind of overthrew the company or the country. And during that time, the country to the east decided to take a land grab and took the southern portion of Ukraine. Ukraine is about the shape and size of Texas, kind of think about it that way. We live in the capital city in the north, Kyiv, kind of thinking like Dallas. And today, because of that incursion in the east, there's a war that's happening, we kind of say like Houston. There's a war that's happening in Houston today that usually takes somewhere around 14 Ukrainian lives per week. And that war continues on for the last 5 years. We're a country that's constantly at war. And as a result of that, God was really moving in our hearts about opportunities, about these black holes, about needed areas, and the first one was the conflict zone. So we started raising up young pastors in the church, and here's a picture of some of the guys right there. The gentleman on the top, that's Maxime. He walked into our teen challenge at our church 9 years ago, a street addict having just come out of prison, and got saved, and God has been doing great things in Maxime's life. He's one of our church planters. The gray-haired gentleman, he's a refugee out of Syria. He pastors our Arabic congregation. And the couple on the far left, that's Dennis and Anna. They're church planters for us as well. And I married them last May, and God's doing great things through their lives. The first church plant that we did was in the village of Svetlodarsk. The gentleman on the far left, that's Andre. Andre came out of our college ministry. We're a big college town. In fact, in Kyiv, just the city limits alone, there's 50 universities. And so we have people from all over the world coming in for these universities. He's one of these kids that came from a village and started attending our college ministry. And when we talked about opportunities to plant churches, he says, I'll go. In fact, Andre's really, really good at spreadsheets. He's like an accountant kid, you know. And so we put him in Svetlodarsk, right in the conflict zone. Our little church planting group there goes to bed every night hearing bombs fall still. And but their church today has 60 people who had never been to a church before that have been attending for at least the last 4 to 5 years. And they planted a youth group in the next village over of 40 kids. And so God's doing great things through Andre. He knows the name of every single person in their village. He knows how much food they have, whether they need diapers. When humanitarian aid comes in with convoy, we know exactly who needs the food because Andre, he can run a spreadsheet. And God's doing great things through him. And the other church we want to tell you a little bit about today is the church in Kalinsee. Now, it's about an hour and a half north of Kyiv in an area not too far from Chernobyl, about 50 kilometers. Anybody heard of Chernobyl before? So that's where we live. But there's an area of about 20 villages that have never had a church, never had a gospel witness. And a gentleman came to us a few years back and said, hey, there's this building at an orphan camp up there. You're welcome to use it on Sundays if you want a church plant up there. We thought, oh, that's God's stuff. And so Maxime and Dennis are co-pastoring what we call Source of Hope Church, and it was just over 2 years ago that we went into the village just to try to connect there And there think about 300 houses in the village. And when I say village, think sand street. About half of the houses have a concrete slab floor. The others don't. Most use a well. Some have electricity. Some don't. Some have plumbing. Some don't. But very rudimentary, very simple, not much different from the last 500 years. And it was around Christmas time, so we put bags together. We put bags of fruit and food for about a month. We put an adult Bible in there. We put a children's Bible paid for by a group in the United States here called BGMC. And so all the BGMC, all the bags got a children's Bible in them. And we took them all out and we handed them all out and just invited people to a Christmas sing-along. Christmas is kind of interesting to people. Christmas is growing because of freedoms in Ukraine. And so we didn't know who would show up that first night. We just kind of made the invitation, greeted people in their gardens. And that first night, 50 people showed up. And we were so excited, just had some coffee and tea together, and it was a great time. And so Dennis and Maxime come to me the next day, and they say, "Pastor Paul, we need to plant, we need to start the service next Sunday." I said, "That's not how you plant a church. Like, you don't just hand out bags and start a service, right? You do small groups and you do prayer walks and you do Alpha Course and you know all the things you do to connect." And they're like, "No, we really sense the Holy Spirit saying, just open the doors." I said, "Okay, if God's saying that," we printed off some flyers and inviting people and went around handing them out from door to door. And that first week, sure enough, 50 people showed up. And God is doing great things at Source of Hope Church, and we have a children's ministry that goes on midweek. We have people who are getting baptized. We have two guys that have gone to faith-based rehab with Teen Challenge. We've got a women's ministry that the median age is about 85 years old. It's a scary bunch of old ladies, but God's doing some great things there. It's really interesting what God uses, like. They're just gossips and they're mean. And Vera, an older lady from our church in Kyiv, goes up there every Wednesday night and just kind of has ladies together. And they came across this movie that was dubbed into Russian called War Room. Has anybody seen this Christian movie, War Room? And so Vera's like, "I'm going to show it to these ladies, you know." And Vera said they cried their way through the entire movie and said, "That's who we need to be. We need to be prayers for our village." And God's just doing some great things there. But I want to tell you about one lady in the village. Her name is Martha. Martha is 95 years old at the taking of this picture and has spent her entire life in Ukraine, in Kolyntsi, in that village. She's lived there her entire life. And if you know anything about Ukraine, 95 years, those are tough years. Those are very tough years. She lived through the forced starvation of Stalin, what we call the Holodomor, where over 6.5 million people were starved to death in about a year and a half to 2 years' time. She remembers as a little girl sitting in the field and eating hay to survive with her older brother. Shortly after that, she recalls Nazi Germany pulling out on their retreat out of Ukraine into Poland, and as they were going out, just a killing spree on the way out. They went through the village, killing as many as they could. She hid in the woods and watched her older brother being shot in the head and killed. The tough years in Kolyntsi. At the taking of this picture, she had outlived three husbands, never had children, and 10 years blind, completely blind. When we started getting to know Martha and stopping at her home, her neighbor had been taking care of her for 2 years. For a long time, but 2 years ago, her neighbor passed away. And as a result of that, two girls in the youth group at the church decided that they would start taking care of her. And so they would stop by often and bring food. In fact, if you get our newsletter, you might have heard us talking about firewood that we're collecting for Martha. And we raised money to make sure she'd have firewood through the winter. But the thing is about Martha, she didn't want anything to do with the church. She didn't want anything to do with us. In fact, she was angry. She's bitter. She yells at anybody that comes near her property, so much so that the village really considered her to be the village witch because she would spew out curses at everybody, didn't want anything to do with anyone. And honestly, the guys really didn't even like connecting with her that much. But it was the first week of May, a little over a year ago. We've been in the United States for a year. This is right before we left to come back here. And we were having a, 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 a big celebration coming up in May, and so Dennis or Maxime and the two girls that were taking care of her were kind of going house to house, inviting people from their gardens to come on into church. And they stopped that Sunday afternoon at Martha's, and for whatever reason, first week of May last year, her disposition was different. Right, so she invited them in. And they came in together, and Maxime and the girls, they brought some cookies and some tea, and so they made tea together, and they sat together. And Maxime told her something she had never heard her entire life. She had never heard that there's a God that loves her. She had never heard of Jesus and that he came and died on the cross for her. And that day, they knelt together next to her bed, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Isn't that exciting? After 95 years never having access, I just think about the patience of God. Maxime was so excited. He came back like we were just celebrating because we'd all been praying for Martha for so long. She was alone for so long, and so many had invested. And many of you might have been praying for Martha as well if you got our newsletters. And so we were so excited, and everybody was telling everything about it. We had a baptism that just 2 weeks later, 13 days later, a big baptism that was happening, and everybody comes to the capital city, and we have a big picnic, and it's right on the Dnieper River, which is about 60 kilometers downstream from Chernobyl, so when you get baptized at our church, it's a real act of faith, right? So we have this big picnic. So Pastor Maxime was so excited, and so he went up with some of the people from the church to collect some of the people from Cullen C to bring them down to the picnic for the water baptism. They used a speed light car that was utilized because of kids here in Wisconsin that support us to have a vehicle. We have a vehicle that we drive because teenagers pay for it. So he took it up there, collected several people, and stopped at Martha's house just to greet her, see how she was doing, knocked on her door, opened up the door, and she was laying on her bed. Her eyes were open. The sun was shining on her face, and she had passed away. Just 13 days after hearing the name of Jesus for the first time, after accepting Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Maxime talks about how he closed her eyes and wrapped her up in a blanket, didn't know what to do, so he called the police from the bigger city over, and they came and they collected her, and he got the church together and drove down. And you know, it's a church picnic, and we have all the church plants in, so I'm playing volleyball, right? I'm all sweaty, and we're having a good time, and Maxime pulls me aside with tears in his eyes and tells me the story and says, "Pastor, how do I do a funeral? I've never done a funeral before." We got our leaders together, and we cried together, and we talked and prayed for a little bit. And we reflected on all the people who had a part in Martha's story. All the people who had invested that there be a church up there. I think about Maxime, and man, how gifted Maxime is, right? Every time I talk to him, I feel like I get saved for the first time, right? He's so excited about the grace of Jesus Christ and the cross, how much he had a part in Martha's story. I think about those two high school girls that all they did was just bring food in. All they did was just care for her, clean her, make sure the dog had food, right? They had such a part in Martha's story. I think about all the people who helped train our pastors. I think about all the people who gave so that we could plant that church up there, and all the bags that went out, whether it was BGMC or Speed of the Light, all of them playing their part, right? So all of those finances could go up there. And all of those things could get done so we could plant church where there was no church. Think about Teen Challenge that was there for Maxime to get saved. How they had a part in Martha's story. I think about that guy who came up to me with a prayer card in his hand that says, I've been praying for 10 years. How he's got a part in Martha's story. And how each of you, as you give and you pray to missions, you have a part in Martha's story. You have a part in so many stories that maybe you'll never know, that maybe you'll never have access to. Well, what's the big deal here? I mean, remember now, Paul is heading towards these. God turns his life around because there's somebody waiting. See, Lydia is the first convert of Europe. There's a church established in that city from that point on. God does a great thing throughout Europe from that point on. So why is it so important for us to be sensitive and to listen to the Holy Spirit? Because there are Lydias and there are Marthas still waiting. Who've lived their whole lives at a place that have just never had access, never had opportunity. And our intentionality says we want to be there. We want to play a part. I think about Heidi, who all those years ago in eighth grade just had the courage to invite another friend from school to church. Now she, through Christine, through my life, had a part in Martha's story. I don't know what God has for your life. A lot of you, I've met you for the first time today. I don't know what direction God has for you. I don't know what happens today, but I can guarantee this, if we're willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, if we're simply willing to play our part in God's great plan, God says no to something, turn, because we know that he's got a plan for us. And when God guides us in a way, it's not just for our well-being, but it's because people like Lydia and Martha are still waiting for the opportunity, God's love for their lives. I'd like to pray with you today. If you'd bow your heads, just a moment of silence. Heavenly Father, we reflect today upon your word, that each of us plays a big part in your plan. Each of us, with our intentionality to be obedient to you, can play a part in people's lives around the world through our giving, through our prayer, but Lord, even through our going. And Lord, if you start speaking to some hearts today about going to places that just don't have access, Lord, help us to create access. Just give them a chance. Just give them a chance today. So Lord God, give us the sensitivity to hear your voice, to know when it's you, Lord God, so that we might play our part in your great plan. We pray this in Jesus' name.